Welcome to the A-League's Fantasy Show, your one-stop shop for all the latest news and tips in the world of men's and women's A-League fantasy. My name's Lockie Flanagan. Back in the host chair for this week, we've kicked away Matt Comito. Campbell Johnson's gone and into the breach. Joining me today are Nick D'Urbano and Pakua Frimpong. Nick and Pakua, welcome to both of you. Another big, crazy weekend. It's always mad when the men's and women's fantasy competitions are running at once. Have you recovered? Have you gotten yourself out of the rubble? I'll start with you, Pakua.
I haven't got myself out of the rubble in terms of my fantasy teams. They haven't been doing quite well. Need to take a little bit more care of them. But I really enjoyed the weekend of football. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, certainly similar sort of sentiments here. You know, we've started to slowly pull our way out. I was happy with my scores, but not very, very happy. And I'll explain a little bit later as to why I was a little bit disappointed with one of my scores this week. But looking forward to this weekend. It's a shame we don't have both competitions running because it felt like we had such a good weekend in the Liberty A-League. And now we've got to take a bit of a pause for another week before we hit the big sort of December slate of fixtures. But looking forward to this weekend. Should be six great games in the ICCU Day League.
Well, for those who are playing along at home and might have missed their chance to make some trades in the rush of a sort of, you know, double league weekend, we're going over round five and round six in the men's and women's competitions respectively. Let's start off with the Liberty A-League. It was a great weekend of football and a pretty reasonable weekend for our particular fantasy team. A score of 111 points, a 38 more than last week. A pretty good result, all things considered, but spearheaded by the person who was pretty much the godly figure of the Liberty A-League over the weekend, albeit in a loss in fantasy, in Vesna Milivojevic, a score of, I think, 28 in the defeat to Newcastle Jets. So if you had her as captain, which many people did, myself included, she had your team on her shoulders this weekend.
I did have her in my team. I didn't have her captain. So that was an error by me there. And I had a terrible week in fantasy. I only scored 68 points. I think my loyalty to Melina Reyes has run me into the ground, and I've lost sight of the true path, so I need to find my way again.
Well, certainly for our AFC podcast team, it was definitely Milivojevic doing the heavy lifting. Her captaincy score of 56 was nearly half of our points. Now, it's a decent score for our collective team, particularly because we know how hard it is to have, what, six, seven, eight coaches. The number seems to expand every time we record this. But maybe it's not that good of a score for Mr. Nick D'Urbano, because he came in to the podcast last week with an absolute bang. I mean, there is making your debut, and there is making your debut as the number one ranked A-League women's fantasy player. This is how Nick arrived on his podcast debut last week, nice and high and mighty.
I'm a humble leader. I'm not someone who's going to go out of their way and rub it in people's faces. The message is, yeah, try and knock me off because, you know, because I'm not going to give it up anytime soon. I'm happy where I am. I don't want to lose my spot. So, yeah, that's as simple as it's going to be. It's not going to be too much trash talk because I don't want it to come back and bite me.
Nick, like any humble leader offering to come and take it from me, I'm not giving it up anytime soon. Nick, look, it was a solid week. You're still flying, but unfortunately that sometime soon was 7 days. Give us an update on how you're tracking.
Yeah, less than 7 days, technically. What, three from the time of recording, Thursday till Sunday, Sunday night. I mean, sorry, Monday morning I wake up and I check and I see that I've dropped one spot. I'm down to number two now. And yeah, as you said, didn't have a bad week per se. I still managed to score 114, but just someone did better. So, yeah, I mean, I put the challenge out and the challenge was answered by, Victoricious. I think I'm getting that correct. I don't want to get that wrong. There's not a coach's name, to this team. So it's an unknown player. And they scored 135 and are now 14 points ahead of me on the standings. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, they had Emily Van Egmond. They've bought the sort of bringing in Van Egmond for this four-game guest stint, and she scored 24 points last week. It's a bold move to bring someone in who's only going to be here for 4 weeks, but if you want a sort of quick sort of fantasy jolt, she's the player to do it. And unfortunately, for my sake, I sort of was on the other end of it. So yeah, I'm sitting in second now going into the international break.
Well, mystery manager, whoever you are, the rest of the A-League's Fantasy Podcast crew, thank you very much for your service, just for knocking Nick off his perch for 1 week. We look forward to seeing that battle continuing to ensue. Pakua, you were off in the background listening. What did you make of Nick's grand arrival to the show last week? And let's be nice. I'm sure you've had a chance to have a look over his team. Give him a compliment as well.
You know what? It's nice to see Nick doing well. You know, I was doing well last season, and clearly Nick has stolen my mojo like it happened in Space Jam, and I would like it back because I'm desperately struggling. But no, Nick's done well. He's got a solid team, and he seems to have all the right people in at the right time. Clearly not for this weekend, and I guess that's a fault for you, Nick. But you know what, Nick? You've done all right, and we may need to follow your lead, unfortunately, for the rest of the way if we want to continue to be competitive in the league.
Can I just say I appreciate the positive words from Pakua, unlike yourself, Lockie. I appreciate a little bit of like, you know what, you're going to get back up and you're going to be fine. We should be listening to your wise words, or just the nice words that come from Pakua. So, Lockie, keep that one in mind for next time, mate, because we don't want to talk about where your team's currently at. So maybe we'll leave that for another time. But yeah, as I said, the challenge went out, the challenge was answered. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So we'll see what it's like by the time we get to the final round of the season.
Oh, for what it's worth, we did have a solid collective score this weekend, but it's okay. We'll move on. We'll stay the blade for Nick this week. Let's have a look at the trades that we made last week that led us towards our score. It wasn't a sort of huge switcheroo. It was a pretty straight up and down switch. But out went Alyssa Dalloste. In came Hillary Beale, as we sort of expected. That would be the switch in the lineup for Western United. Now, she pulled in 3 points. But how are we feeling after this trade? Because 3 points, it's not a great score. It's not a terrible score in a loss for Western United. But there are a few moments in this game for Hillary Beale, weren't there, Pakua?
Yeah, there certainly were. But I do think we've ultimately made the right decision. I think Hillary Beale will long-term was going to get us a lot of points. I think she's going to have a really high save percentage. So I think we'll be fine there. Didn't have her best weekend against the Wanderers. And she, I think, got a little bit caught on the ball and gave up the first goal to Sophie Harding. But I do think ultimately it's the right choice. But it didn't pay off for us this week. But we've got two weeks off for this break, and we should be back and be all right.
Well, this is the beautiful thing for a lot of fantasy managers, because round six, you are sort of getting to that period, Nick, aren't you, where the wheat is sort of sorting itself from the chaff. You've proved yourself to be a very fine grain of wheat so far with your beautiful ranking. But, you know, that international break, the Matildas playing Canada, it just gives fantasy managers a bit of time to think about where they want to take their squads next. And there are a couple of trade options that are maybe bubbling up. And you know what? I will give you a compliment, Nick. Let's lean on your expert experience here. What should fantasy managers out there, in your opinion, as someone who sits in the lofty heights, who are the players that they should be thinking about bringing in this week? What are the kind of moves they should be making while they've got the extra time to think about it?
First of all, interesting analogy bringing wheat into it to someone who has a wheat intolerance. So thank you very much there, Lockie. You know, it's again, just the shots being fired right now.
Even when I'm nice, I mean.
No, look, I think at this point, you're only six rounds in. It is still very early. You should be starting, like, in this period of time, not really panicking. I mean, don't make any sort of rash decisions. Sort of look at it now as sort of, all right, what positions do I want to set and forget? If you've got your sort of premium options, like your Vesna Milivojevic, your Fiona Wurtz's, your Grace Jarlay's, just looking at our team, the AFC fantasy team, you know, with Polisena as well, and even players like if you've still got a Kirsty Fenton or a Courtney Vine, you're just waiting for them to come back from injury, I wouldn't be panicking too much. But I think also just keeping an eye on those players who are on the bubble, players who are a little bit cheaper now, who are probably under 300,000, and they're sort of getting to that point where they've had a good run of form and you're like, okay, should I get them in? Should I not? This is the time to start looking at bringing some of those players in, but also starting to make sort of calculated decisions. Have a look at the form over the next few weeks and see who they're going to play in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Because we're starting to get a bit of a gauge as to how these teams are going to shape up for the rest of the year. Like, you know, how teams are sort of, whether they're going to be contending this year, whether they're going to be playing finals. So you get a bit of a gauge of who's got the stronger defenses, the better attacks and everything like that. So, you know, if you haven't got Vesna Milivojevic, for instance, and you've got the cash to do it, this is the time to try and get her in and do everything you can to get her in, because it's a guarantee you're going to get a good score every week. Or if you've been sitting on the fence on bringing in someone who is a little bit cheaper, like even though Hillary Bill only scored 3 points, Pekua said, she's $176,000. She's guaranteed to play every single week. She's guaranteed that long-term, she will be a great option between the sticks and a very safe option. That's someone that you should be looking at, and also looking at how you can get more money in your salary as well. Like, if you've got a player that you think has sort of hit their ceiling and you're like, okay, they've had a few lean weeks, but there's someone that's a bit cheaper, find ways to do that, because then long-term you can eventually look at getting some of those players that you might not be able to afford now, whether it is, you know, one of those premium options like Polisena, Jale, Milivojevic, whoever it might be. So plan out a bit of a, you know, sort of course of action and just see how you go. But I wouldn't be panicking over this week. You got 2 weeks to sort it out. I'd kind of just be sitting back. You know, if you've got a men's team, focus on the men's team this week and then come back to it with some fresh eyes next week.
Fantasy list management 101 from Nick. That was very, very good stuff. I think we're going to take a page out of your book. We're all in agreement that we're going to just, as a collective pod squad, meditate on the team for this week. No trades for the moment. So I think we might leave it there. Nick, before we head over to the men's discussion, there is one thing we should address. I need to know, we've addressed the top-ranked player who's knocked you off your perch, the mystery player, the mystery manager at the top of the league. Who else is joining you in the top 10 at the moment?
Well, in the top 10 in all of A-League Women's Fantasy, just pulling this up now, we've got VAR FC, who is in third place, 7 points behind me at the moment, coached by Andrew. We've got Hopkins Army, Chloe's Heroes, Cardi Party, Ha Fantasy Team Go Brr, Lisa Roos, Stats All Folks, and Zizu FC rounding out the top 10. A few people sort of locked on points. So we've got, a four-way tie in eighth. So, you know, we've got a few teams that are all starting to come together. So, you know what, if you're a bit behind, you know, consider yourself that you're right in the hunt still to potentially, you know, get back in the hunt. But also we probably should also mention you can still join our fantasy league, our public league. We've gone up two spots, which is good news. We're up to 23rd. We've got a bit of work to do to still get back up into the top 10 or really start competing in our own league. So get in, join. We've got all the details in the pod description, so make sure you head over there after the show.
Couldn't help but notice as we move on to the men's section of fantasy, reviewing round five, that one of those teams was called Zizu FC, and I have a feeling that might be a very topical team name as we move into the men's team. But let's start with the good stuff, the easy stuff. Nick, I want to take your mind back, and Pekua, to about 3 weeks ago on this podcast, the weekend where Adelaide defeated Melbourne City 6-0, Western Sydney defeated Western United 5-0. It was chaos for fantasy managers, and the A-League men's pod squad was not immune in any stretch. We hauled in 13 points at the end of that round. It feels a distant memory away now. This weekend, 138 points, the 52nd highest score in this round. So inside the top 1%, we were absolutely flying. Jay O'Shea with a score of 40 as captain. Lockie Wales, his goal in a loss, came up with 20 points. So a very good return for a player who just quietly I traded into the team. But we should be feeling pretty up and about this week. And I know it's a very boom and bust mentality sometimes, Pekua, but I'm feeling good.
No, I think we certainly should be feeling good. And you know what? I'm happy that Lockie Wales got 20 points, because I was listening back to last week's pod and some people were discussing potentially taking him out. But you know what? He stayed and he's doing really well. And Alex Paulson, Nick, you must be feeling pretty good about yourself.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, Pekua, because one of the big reasons, one of the cornerstones, I think, behind our monster, if we do say so ourselves, haul of 138 points last week was the inclusion of Alex Paulson. This was the man, the genius behind the trade last week.
I think in terms of the squad makeup, we've already got quite a lot of good players here. Are there any that would we want to change the formation? Nick, I think you've got a change you want to make in the goalkeeping department.
Yeah, I think it's quite a, you know, sort of natural straight swap. I think Alex Paulsen in for Thomas Stewart-Bell, averaging close to 10 points a game for me. I don't know about you guys, but I think let's bring him in this week.
Yeah, and that's coming off our bench, to be clear. We've got the two goalkeepers in our team, and we will move Paulsen onto the field.
Nick, I know I took it hard on you in the Liberty A-League section, but bravo, my son. 22 points, 23 points in total, but a 22 differential from the trade or the swap of Stewart-Bell and Paulsen onto the field without even burning a trade. Without even burning a trade, Paulsen was incredible, and our fantasy team reaped the rewards. The floor is yours. This is victory time for you.
I mean, we've all seen what Alex Paulsen's been doing this season. My concern was, what was he doing on the bench for this long, guys? Like, what were you guys cooking? I mean, you know, look, he was brilliant last week. He saved the penalty to essentially win the game for Wellington, saving McLaren's penalty, made a number of big saves. He's been the goalkeeper of the season, I think, unanimously right now, at least. You know, if not, he's certainly in the top three with the likes of Gauchi, etc. So, you know, he's been brilliant. 23 points, averaging 12.4. He's now priced at 305.1K. So he's gone up 150K already this season. His break even is still -9. So he's actually projected to go up another 103.3K this week. And they're playing Western United, who have only scored one goal in their last four games at Mars State. Now, Western United do create a lot of chances, but they don't score many. So, I mean, like, yes, the tide may turn, and the law of averages suggests that Western United are going to start scoring eventually. But Alex Paulsen's just not being beaten. Like, that's the difference in all this. Alex Paulsen refuses to yield. So I think that's something, certainly, if you've got the money and you don't have him and you didn't get him when he was 155K at the start of the season or under 300K, you've just got to get him in because he's a set and forget between the sticks.
I mean, to put it in perspective, Alex Paulsen at the start of the season, his price was 155,100. That was the basement price. That was like the floor. He is now worth 305, so he's doubled in value. But Tom Stewart-Bell, the keeper we swapped him out for, is now worth less than the basement price because of a difficult few weeks in the net. So an easy decision. We did make one official trade as well. Procure out went Bernardo Oliveira. In came Thomas Waddingham, the teenage sensation for Brisbane Roar. What did you make of the trade at the time? And how are you feeling about it now, knowing that Waddingham scored 7 points? Pretty decent return without scoring a goal.
You know what? I'm happy with this this trade, and it's a temporary move because we are going to touch on a little bit later, but Zavada is still on the bench and that forced the change. But I wasn't, you know, moved either way, but I was happy with the points, and we scored 138, you said, Lockie, at the top. So I think we can't get too greedy, can we?
That's true. And you make a very good point that, you know, Waddingham was sort of covering a gap in a way. He was sort of an injury replacement signing, I guess, for us in a roundabout sort of terminology, because Oscar Zavada was obviously absent last week. Not that it hurt Wellington Phoenix all that much, but our star striker, who'd been doing bits for us, quite frankly, and bits for many other fantasy managers out there, was unavailable. But I believe, Nick, as the digital producer who's been furiously collating the round six ins and outs for the men's, that you have some big news.
Yeah, well, Wellington have announced that he's in this week. He's in the provisional squad. So that's a heads up to, you know, make sure you keep an eye on the teams, the final teams at 4:30 on Saturday before 1 hour before they do take the field against Western United in Ballarat. So at this point, it looks like he's going to feature. I mean, if you did keep him and you did decide to just sort of back it in, I mean, the initial sort of diagnosis was 2 or 3 weeks on the sidelines. I think we were all preparing for, you know, maybe this week we trade him out, but now all of a sudden he's been named. We've got the option to you know, back it in and you know, sort of just go, let's give it a go and see if he'll actually play. Or we can decide to maybe change it up. But the good thing is, guys, I think we're in a good spot because even if he doesn't play, as we saw last week, we've got the depth in other areas to change the formation and maybe tinker things a little bit. So, yeah, it's good to see that Oscar Zavada's back because, you know, if he can start scoring as well, we're going to be in for a nice little bit of extra points coming our way as well.
Well, that's the thing. You get the feeling that Zavada, if he does play in this game, you know, Western United have been a little bit shaky defensively. Their record of late in Ballarat, where this game will be played, isn't the best. You get the feeling that if he plays this game, he will score. So definitely relieved that we don't have to potentially ask the question, as we were earlier before that news came in, as to whether or not we'd burn a trade. But Pekua, casting an eye over the squad, it is a brave call, I think, to make a trade after, you know, getting one of the highest scores in the weekend. But is there a particular area of the field? Is there a particular individual who's sticking out at you as maybe on the chopping block this week?
Well, I was the individual who suggested us get Zinedine Mahshash. I apologize if I've said his name incorrectly, but I think it's time we may need to let him go. And I've been looking at how we've got 182,300 left in remaining salary. If we were to add that with Mashash's total, we would be able to afford Zach Clough, who has had a tremendous season and is getting points every single week in and week out. And I've got Adelaide winning this weekend. Sorry, spoiler for later on. But I'm just thinking maybe that could be a trade that we could do to bolster our squad and get a little bit more points and get a little bit more greedy.
Well, Nick, I'm a little bit split because I'm a bit of a tight ass. Let's put it frankly. I'm a bit, you know, I like the idea of Clough. I remember, you know, Pepperidge Farm remembers when he was suggesting bringing in Zach Clough back when Clough's ownership percentage was at 1.4% after round one. However, he's a little bit on the expensive side, and someone who's been in good form but is a little bit cheaper is Bozidar Krajev, who obviously scored the winner against Melbourne City. I am going to put the power in your hands. I will let you be the deciding vote. Mashash is gone. I think we all agree on that. Pekua is owning her L, and we can only respect her for
an L. What is going on, Nick?
You traded her.
Hey, I didn't say anything.
Pekua traded him. Pekua traded him in and is now acknowledging that it's time to freeze Zinedine.
Can we get Campbell Johnson back to host the pod? Lockie's in charge and he's criticized you, Nick. Now he's criticizing me.
I am commending you for admitting to your own mistake. That's one of the strength of any person.
Pekua, I hope that you don't have an allergy. Just going to bring that up as an excellent analogy to throw your way as well.
Do you have a gluten intolerance or?
No, not telling you.
Okay, you're safe. You're safe. I'm going to put the trade power in your hands. Krajev or Zach Clough?
This is a tough one for me because usually I'm firmly on the corner of get someone in where you can have a bit of extra cash to spare. And I know with Clough, we'd only have about $18,000. With Krajev, we'd have about 88K. But there's another option that I kind of really like for this week that you both didn't mention. So this is, I don't know if I'm going to be able to exercise my emergency powers here and veto you both, but I just want to throw it out there. Ulysses Starvilla at 330K has had a nice little run. Now the risk is, as the risk is with any player from MacArthur, Melbourne City or the Mariners in a week like this, they obviously have Asian commitments playing in the AFC Cup. They might change their squad. If you say he starts in midweek, they might tinker things. Of course, that game's been moved to Thailand, so they've had to travel as well. So I'm a little bit split with that too, because Krajev and Zach Clough don't have to worry about that this week. They get to have an extra few days recovery. They're definitely going to start. So maybe, you know what? Maybe I've just gone this big tangent for nothing, and maybe I've just convinced myself not to bring Ulysses Starvilla in. You know what, though? Zach Clough is scoring so well, like so well. He has scored no less than 12 points in any of the five games, which it is almost impossible not to bring him in. And at 464K with a break even of 5, a projected change of 66K this week, I think if we don't get him now, we're never going to have the opportunity to do it. And I think next week we could almost make a cash trade where we could potentially look at someone who might be on the bubble and make a move where we, you know, look to get some more cash in the bank. So, Lockie, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to go with Zach Clough simply because he's just playing way too well. And now we've got him and Jay O'Shea, who are the two top scoring midfielders in the entire game, which for me is formidable. If this backfires, I'm prepared to take all the responsibility. But yes, Spakua, I'm on your corner with this one. Zach Clough in for Zinedine Mashash. And if Mashash or Krayev score as well, I'm prepared to wear that. If Ulysses Stavila scores, I'm prepared to wear that as well. So we're going with Clough.
It's one of those rare instances where I'm more than happy to be outvoted. Clough has been unstoppable this season. And now the pod squad have the two most fearsome fantasy midfielders in our midst. But if you think you've got what it takes to silence our smugness at the moment, of course you can join our fantasy league. You can take us on. You can take on everyone else who's in the league as well. The link to join, of course, is in the show notes for this pod, wherever you're listening to it. Let's get into round six predictions. So we've got no Liberty A-League this weekend because the Matildas will be in action against Canada on Saturday. So we'll all get to enjoy that. But before that, the Isuzu Ute A-League kicks off. And Nick, it kicks off in an absolutely massive way this weekend as we get into the predictions. A top four clash, Western Sydney, top of the table, riding high, undefeated after a Sydney derby victory. Head to Suncorp to face Brisbane Roar in what looms as an absolutely blockbuster Friday night game.
Yeah, this is going to be an absolutely cracking game, probably the game of the round. Two of the form team coming into it, back wins for the both of them. This is an interesting one, I think, because, you know, we saw Brisbane last week, you know, a 2-1 win. They were obviously tested a little bit late, but were good enough to get that win against the Glory. Wanderers winning in a derby, plenty of momentum coming into this one. Some key outs for both teams. Obviously, Brandon Borello out for 3 months with a quad injury. Corey Brown and Florian Berengay out for Brisbane. So some big outs there. An interesting name, though, in the ins for Brisbane. Shay Cahill, the son of Tim, is in the ins. So we could see Tim Cahill's son make his first senior appearance in the A-Leagues, which is really exciting. Another young Brisbane player. But this is going to be a fascinating contest. They played in the Australia Cup in the quarters, which Brisbane won 4-2. They were very good that night. I know I sat on the fence a lot last week and I went for a lot of draws, but it did kind of serve me well when I had all the tips all added up. I think I did okay with my tips. I don't remember them all exactly, but I'm going to go a score draw in this one. I reckon a 2-2 in this game. And I think that I still think it's going to be the game of the round, but yeah, going a 2-2 draw.
Well, Nick, you weren't just sitting the fence. You had your own fencing company last week, the way you sat there, the way you were there. But you know what? You did all right, but you were starting your own construction company. For me, I think I'm going to have to go with Western Sydney Wanderers in this game. I think they're riding the high of the derby last week, and I'm expecting them to put in another good performance. And I think I'm going to go with the Wanderers 2-1 in this game.
Well, look, Nick, I'm glad you mentioned those predictions from last week. It was 2 out of 6 for you in the A-League Women's, and just the one out of six in the A-League Men's, which is, you know, it's pretty ho hum. But I will praise you again here. You were absolutely sage in your wisdom about players who would break their goal scoring drought in the A-League Women. I was seriously impressed. You got Correa Aquino, bang, Millie Farrow. Bang, you are on fire. And for that reason alone, I was so impressed by that. I'm going to side with you. The absence of Florian Berengay is a really big one for Brisbane. I might have fancied them for a home upset here had he been available. But I think this one is going to end in a draw. And I reckon there will be as much entertainment on the sidelines with Rudes and Ross Aloisi sort of, you know, giving it their best from their technical areas as they will on the pitch. This should be an absolute corker, regardless of the direction it goes on Friday night. Let's head to Ballarat on Saturday afternoon at Mars Stadium. Not been a happy hunting ground for Western United recently. I think they've lost all three of their last three games out in Ballarat, and it doesn't get any easier this weekend when Wellington come to town, particularly a Wellington side who have potentially got Oscar Zavada back in business. It's a really, you know, Nick, John Aloisi and his Western side are pretty desperate for a win, probably in need of it more than any other side in the comp. Can you see a way that they eke one out against one of the best sides in the league so far in Wellington?
Absolutely. I mean, they are creating a lot of chances. They absolutely, I mean, if you don't believe in it, cover your ears now, but they dominated the XG last week. Absolutely. I think they had something like, it was close to 3 goals expected, but they just couldn't score. And, you know, there was some talk, some people sort of saying, you know, what's going on with Western at the moment? But Lachie Wales came out in midweek and was saying, you know, we just simply need to start converting. He actually said, I apologize to some of my teammates and said, you know, I missed some chances, you know, and it could have been markedly different had they taken them. And that is exactly right. Sometimes it just doesn't go your way, and it didn't last week for them. They do have some defensive frailties. But I do think that they could turn things around this weekend against the Wellington team that, look, they've been really good this season. It's not going to be an easy sort of game whatsoever for them, but it's not as if the attacking trends aren't going in their way. It just needs to start to click. And you do get a sense, as I was saying a little bit earlier, the law of averages do suggest the goals are going to start falling. So again, I'm going to be boring and I'm going to say this is going to be a draw. I think Western United turned the tables just a little bit, but I don't think it'll be enough to get a win. I still think Wellington are going to be a little bit too strong, and I think it'll probably end up in a 1-1 draw.
Pakura, I saw, you know, the podcast listeners don't have the privilege of seeing the images of all of the presenters here, but I'll paint a picture for you. Pakura's eyes just about rolled into the back of her skull.
You know what, Lockie?
You know what, Nick? At Nick's prediction of a draw there, I take it that you don't agree.
Nick's going to have a very successful multinational corporation soon, honestly, the way he's going. But for me, I'm going to have to go with Wellington because I don't go against our fantasy team and the people we want to get points. And obviously, Western United have been struggling with goals as of late, and I don't think this is the week it's going to start with the best goalkeeper in the competition, Alex Poulsen. So I'm going to go with a Wellington 3-1 win this weekend.
There hasn't been a single clean sheet kept by Western United in all the games that they've played out in Ballarat. That's 12 games. It's a lot. And Pakua, I agree with you. We want to support, as many others do. Many have got Alex Paulsen in their team. Yeah, many have got Oscar Zavada in their team. We want to support our fantasy players. We barrack for the fantasy result as much as we do the real A-League men's tables. So I think this one is going to be a goal fest that Wellington wins. 3-2 to the Knicks, and I reckon Lachie Wales, again, barrack for the fantasy team, gets on the score sheet and delivers some sweet, sweet points to our side. Following that up is a rematch of the 2019 Grand Final, Sydney FC up against Perth Glory. A really bizarre fixture, this one, because it's a team that struggled very much at home in the Sky Blues up against the Perth Glory side, who are, get this, 1 win in their last 25 games outside of Western Australia. It's an astonishing record. Nick, are they any chance of changing it this weekend?
I mean, the thing that does work in their favour is that Sydney haven't been, I mean, yes, they did win that game against Adelaide, but 1 win in 5, I know different coaches and everything like that. So it's not as if this Sydney team have been in roaring form. But I mean, I don't want to keep harking on about sort of just how bad Perth's record has been recently, but they've only won one of their last 11 games against Sydney in Sydney as well, and have failed to score in 8 of the last 11 as well. So it's really tough reading for them. The best thing that goes in sort of the Glory's favour is Adam Taggart has been brilliant against Sydney. 3 goals in his last 4 matches, or 3 goal involvements in his last 4 matches against Sydney, 2 goals and an assist. So he's someone they're going to have to lean on. I do think Sydney are going to win this game, though. I think they'll bounce back after the derby. Come away with, I think it'll be a tight game, but I think Sydney will have just enough to come away with a 1-0 victory against Perth Glory.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you on this one, Nick. I think that obviously sometimes we can overharp on, you know, the stats of the previous history of a team and use historical data as if it exists now. But I do think Sydney will want to bounce back after the derby. And I think I feel a little bit more confident in their squad to get the 3 points. So I'm going to go Sydney 2-1 against Perth.
Nick, are you franchising your fence sitting business?
I mean, I'm not starting a competitive gym.
If so, I want in. I want to buy a franchise because I think this one's going to be a score draw. I think this is going to be a score draw. At Allianz, I'm going to go 2-2. And I reckon Adam Taggart is going to get himself on the score sheet. The Tagster will maybe snatch a late one. Over to Gosford. The F3 Derby worked out very, very nicely for Central Coast Mariners. They got a much needed win at home, courtesy of a 3-1 result and a lovely late goal for Jing Reese, which sealed the points. They face Melbourne Victory. They're back at home once again. Victory are still undefeated this season, but they've had this quite bizarre, frankly, run of three consecutive 1-1 draws. Bakur, it's a run of scorelines that would have you, I think, pretty frustrated as a manager. What does Tony Popovich's side have to do to get the win this weekend?
Play a consistent 90 minutes from this Melbourne Victory side. I do have them penciled in for the win, but I would just like to see a much more consistent performance throughout the 90. I think if they keep locked in for it, I think they're the safest bet to get the 3 points on the weekend. So I'm going to go with Melbourne Victory.
Nick, I don't know if you saw that MacArthur game last week. Well, you were covering it live for aleagues.com.au, which is, of course, where you can read all your news from the weekend's action. It was unbelievable how many chances Victory had in that game against MacArthur without scoring. Bruno Fornaroli in particular. No wonder he was claiming that late goal. He had so many slipping by. Does it change this week, or are the Mariners from 0-4 going to 2-2?
I think it does. The Mariners obviously played at the time of recording last night against Terengganu in the AFC Cup. So again, it's a real sort of tough run of games, a lot of sort of games in quick succession. Taking on a team, I mean, in Victory who, yeah, I mean, they would probably argue, and I think that any Victory fan would probably feel this way. I think that they probably would feel they should have 5 wins from 5 based on the amount of chances they've been creating and not scoring. And, you know, I mean, against Adelaide, they missed so many chances to put that game away, didn't take them and ended up going a 1-1 draw. They didn't even concede a shot against Wellington, yet still drew 1-1. You know, then last week as well, they had so many chances, especially after going 1-0 down. And just before that, Adama Traore red card as well in the latter stage of that first half, not Traore's red card, but the chances they had. Kurtel was making all these unbelievable stops to keep them in the game, or MacArthur ahead. So, you know, they did get that 1-1 draw where I thought they were actually pretty good last week, and I think it turns for them. The Mariners, look, they were better last week against the Jets, but I just think Victory are bound to bounce back, and I think they come away with a 2-1 win in this game.
Inclined to agree, Nick. I think your law of averages from before definitely extends to the chance creation for Victory of late. I've got them winning this 3-1, and I've got Bruno Fornaroli getting himself back on the score sheet. The other side of the F3 Derby equation last week was, of course, the Newcastle Jets. They head back to the Hunter this week to face a side who, well, similarly need a win in the league pretty desperately in Melbourne City. A few big milestones for them this weekend. 100th A-League men's appearance for Aziz Bajic, game number 200 for Steven Ugarkovic, and the biggest of them all, Curtis Good, will overtake Scott Jamieson's record to become Melbourne City's all-time leading appearance maker with 162 games. Bakua, I know you're a big fan of Curtis Good. As they're cheering him off the field this weekend at McDonald Jones Stadium, will they be cheering him off to the chorus of the winning song, or is Newcastle going to get the job done?
I'll be keeping it short. Yes, they will. Curtis Good deserves this, and he will be getting the 3 points. And I've got Melbourne City. They can't stay in such poor form for too long, and I think they're going to get the 3 points this weekend.
Lockie, I'm just curious to think, would Newcastle even play a song for Melbourne City if they win? I think, will it be like a don't look back in anger situation, like what Melbourne City do when they lose? I mean, I'm really not too sure. But I think that City do bounce back. Yes, I know that they are coming back from Japan literally as we speak. It was a tight 3-3 draw against Ventfurt Kofu. But I think they're starting to show some signs. I mean, they've been better against Newcastle. They've actually been pretty good against Newcastle as of late. But the one thing that they haven't been able to arrest in the league has been their road form. I think they're winless in their last 7 league games outside Victoria. And I think it's bound to snap. Jamie McLaren also has a pretty good record against Melbourne City. Against Newcastle Jets. So you'd expect him to probably hit the scoreboard. I think City come away with a tight win in this one as well. I think the Jets will give him a bit of a tight and sort of tough game because, you know, Newcastle, I think, have been pretty good this year, bar last week. I think last week was probably the worst game they've played this season. I know they lost 5-3 against Victory, but they were actually okay that game. They were pretty good, especially in the second half. So I think that City do win this game just. I'm going with a 2-1 win in the Hunter.
I'm going to say 1-1 draw just for the reason that I love to be...
Because you want to start a franchise, that's why.
No, because I love to be influenced by a big in, and Renault Piscopo is the big inclusion for the Jets this weekend. They've really struggled so far to finish their chances, the Jets, but they've got two options off the bench potentially in Piscopo and Archie Goodwin, one who can create them, one who we know can definitely finish them. So that just gives them, I think, a window of opportunity in this game on Sunday, another game that was supposed to be running concurrently to this one, but is now on Monday night. We get to Monday night football in the Isuzu Ute A-League when MacArthur play host to Adelaide United. Now, I think I could almost give a collective prediction for this podcast crew. We've gone for Clough over De Villa. We surely have to be going for an Adelaide win and a Zach Clough masterclass.
Certainly, Lockie. And you know what? Considering it was my choice, it would be strange of me not to back it 110%. And I'm backing it 200% of the way. Adelaide 3-0 win.
Top that.
Now, the fascinating stats going into this game, guys. There's a few little quirky stats about this game that I just wanted to bring up. So, of course, MacArthur, in each of their games that they've dropped this year, they've dropped late leads. So they have conceded 4 goals in the 76th minute or later, but they've also scored 4 goals of their own in the 76th minute or later, and so have Adelaide. So these are two of the late kings. So expect if it gets to the 76th minute and nothing's happened, don't be that person who turns off the TV. Stick around because there's plenty still to come, and there's a lot that will happen in that last 15 minutes. Now, these two teams have played 6 times. The home team has won every single time. MacArthur has won the 3 matches in Campbelltown by an aggregate score of 10-1 as well, which is quite remarkable when you think about it. So it's a bit of a weird sort of like imbalance, but I think that eventually things need to change, right? I think Adelaide needed that result. Yes, MacArthur have been impressive this season, but again, flying back from Thailand, you know, a lot of late change. It might kind of disrupt them, similar to what other teams may experience. Yes, I know I literally just said Melbourne City are going to win, but I do think Adelaide, after getting that win on the road last week, I think they're going to come away with a win in Monday night football, but it's not going to be a walk in the park. I think it's going to be a 1-0 win for Adelaide United.
I'm glad you've been reading the same stats, noticing the same things that I have, Nick, like Neo in the Matrix. I agree that the deja vu, the cat, which is that late goal for MacArthur, has been walking across the hallway a great many times. I think it's going to happen again. I think this will be a nil all until minute 70, and then Adelaide will pull out a 2-1 win with some late drama. It could even be another chance for a late piece of magic for Nestori Iranconda. We'll leave that as a little tease for Monday night football. But Pakua, Nick, we just about kept the train on the road without breaking out into a full-on brawl. The fantasy team is, you know, it's got a few bandages, it's got a few, you know, band-aids here and there, but we've just about kept the train on the rails. We've escaped with a few nicks and cuts. Looking forward to dissecting the fallout of this one next week. But that does bring us to the end of another edition of the A-League's Fantasy Show. Of course, we'll have to farewell to my fellow Victorians in Nick and Pakua for 1 week. I'll be left to deal with the fallout. I'll be the spokesperson for whatever goes wrong. Invariably, it tends to go wrong. Next week, when I'm joined by James Dodd and Matt Comito. Of course, if you can't wait until next Thursday for the Fantasy Show, our weekly review show will be coming out on the Tuesday next week, the morning after or the day after the MacArthur game. So make sure you tune in to that wherever you get your podcasts. And to make sure you never miss an episode, keep subscribed to the official Isuzu Ute A-League podcast, wherever you do choose to listen to your podcasts. I know there's a great variance of them these days. And to stay up to date with everything A-League's related, you can go and read Nick's beautiful work on aleagues.com.au or on keepup.com.au for your Matilda stuff, for your Aussies abroad. But until then, enjoy your football. Nick Pakua, thank you very much for your company.